Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
If political elites want to break the law, willy-nilly, they will be held accountable for all the violence and blood and rioting.
This is really, really unprecedented. People on the streets are shouting against the Supreme Leader. It's actually illegal to do that. People are imprisoned for doing that.
Many of our government's hardworking, patriotic public servants have long been denied basic rights for one simple reason. The people that they love are of the same sex.
Albert hits good pitches hard and bad pitches even harder when he gets in the batter's box. If you pray, then you start praying. And if you don't pray, you think about starting.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, we love Issues, etc.
There are two different ways of thinking, believing about God. Two diametrically opposed ways of thinking and believing about God. Now, before you think, well, Christianity versus Islam or Christianity versus paganism, well, that's part of the answer. But even within Christianity, there are Christians who think in very pagan ways about God. If I do something for God, he'll do something for me, and it's a quid pro quo. I do, then he responds and does his part. And whether they'll put it in those crass terms or not, it is how they think and believe about God. Or if I look around in my life and I see things going well, there must be some proximate cause for those quote-unquote blessings of God in my life. I must have done something good. Isn't that the song that Maria von Trapp sings near the beginning of the Sound of Music? I must have done something good. My life is turning out great, and God must be rewarding me. Two different theologies. One of them, the theology of glory, which doesn't sound bad but turns out to be pretty rotten. And the theology of the cross, which sounds rather depressing, but turns out to be the best news there ever was. We're going to talk about the theology of the cross during this first half hour of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, the 23rd of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second half hour of the program, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us to talk about evangelism. He's written a few theses. That's what Lutherans like to do. He's written a few theses on evangelism. We'll see what he has to say. He usually comes up with some pretty interesting stuff. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us in the first part of the second hour to talk about the separation and the newly announced divorce of John and Kate Gosselin of John and Kate Plus 8. I imagine she has a few things to say about that divorce, but divorce in general as well. And then in the last half hour of the program, we'll talk about the birth of John the Baptist. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana will be our guest. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Daniel Deutschlander formerly served as a professor at Northwestern College and Martin Luther College, and he's author of a new book titled The Theology of the Cross. He joins us to talk about that very subject. Pastor Deutschlander, welcome to Issues, etc.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak with you.
Why is this teaching, the theology of the cross, being able to distinguish this teaching from its opposite, theology of glory, why is this so important in a proper biblical understanding of the Christian and his life?
It's so important because it's absolutely central to the Christian's life, the theology of the cross, and it's important as well, more important perhaps today than ever, because it's so much under attack by the theology of glory that you described earlier. Jesus says in Mark 8, he defines the Christian's life as the bearing of the cross. And he defines the bearing of the cross as the denial of self. And those two terms are almost interchangeable. It's a lifelong thing, and it's something that's extremely difficult. Theology of glory says, no, don't sweat the small stuff. Jesus loves me, this I know, this is all I want to know. And so the worship service becomes what I describe as whoopee worship, and a Sunday morning jaunt to the soul's happy hour, so to speak. But that's not the way that the Bible pictures the Christian's life. pictures it as a constant life and death struggle between the old self in me that's never completely gone and the new self in me that was created by the gospel of forgiveness. And that struggle is a joyful struggle. St. Paul says, for example, in Romans 5, we rejoice in tribulations. He's talking about the Christian struggle. And the first time you read that, you kind of want to say, well, speak for yourself. But then he goes on to explain that it's necessary, in the Christian's life, just like Jesus does in Mark 8 when he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
When we say the theology of the cross, what cross are we talking about?
It can be anything that the Christian suffers as a result of the fact that he's a Christian. It isn't suffering in general. Everybody suffers. But anything that he suffers as a result of his being a Christian can be real obvious, outward persecution or ridicule, but just as often, maybe more often, it's something internal, where the Christian says no to himself and yes to the Word of God. He says no to his old nature. He says no to anything that contradicts the Word of God. And he struggles against himself to bring his whole life in submission to Christ and his Word. And that's not always easy. In fact, it's never easy. It's a lifelong thing. So it can be, let's say, for example, the Christian is sick. That's not necessarily a cross. Everybody gets sick. Or a Christian faces death. That's not in and of itself a cross. Everybody faces death. But in the Christian's life, the devil comes and blows in his ear and says, so where is now this God who loves you? Now he has a cross. He has to struggle against the unbelief of his old self and joyfully submit himself to the cross, by which cross Jesus always draws us closer to himself, by which cross Jesus brings us to see our constant need of him, that he is all in all. Or the Christian loses things in life, wealth, maybe health, maybe friends, maybe family, and he feels desolate and alone. These were gifts that God gave him, and now they're gone. Does God hate me? No, God is teaching me. God is pulling me. God is drawing me to himself. He's drawing me to confession. That's, I think, one of the, and to repentance, that's, I think, one of the crucial elements of the theology of the cross. That's almost totally, if not totally, missing in the theology of glory. There's not in the theology of glory the confession that I am by nature sinful and unclean and deserve nothing, but that God gives it all to me by grace. I don't appreciate he gives it all to me by grace until I wrestle with the fact, I wrestle under the cross with the nature of myself. I hope that doesn't ramble.
No, marvelous. You said the question, does God hate me? This is something that Luther struggled with during the 16th century Reformation. He even had a term he was fond of, or maybe not fond of, for the Anfechtungen, the soul struggle. And he talked not only reflectively about his own experience, but also about the Christian in general, that there is a time in the Christian's life when he cannot distinguish between God and Satan. He does not know who he's dealing with when these sufferings come. Talk about that, if you would, with just a few minutes before our first break.
Yeah.
I think we might have lost our guest. We'll get him back here in just a moment, anticipating a marvelous answer. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, as we talk about the theology of the cross with Pastor Daniel Deutschlander, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk about that struggle where God and the devil appear indistinguishable, Dr. Deutschlander.
Yeah, sure. The devil either wants to convince us that we're just fine the way we are and need no repentance, or he wants to convince us that we should despair and that there is no grace, and that's where the scriptures are pivotal. Where we have this phrase in German that I just love so much, ich verlasse mich auf Gottes Wort. Luther uses that so often. I abandon myself to the Word of God. I cling to the promise of God and hang on that. Not how I feel, not what seems reasonable, not what the devil is blowing in my ear and I can't tell whether he's an angel of light or not, but what does God say? And so And so when the person is in despair, I listen to what God says. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
And when I'm feeling particularly proud of myself, is that also the time to abandon oneself to the word of God?
That's exactly right. I know that in me, St. Paul in Romans 7, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not. And then it's time to get back to. And that's one of the purposes of the book as well, to get the person to go back and see just exactly what that means, self. What do we mean by self? What does Jesus mean when he says you have to lose yourself? If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you want to lose your life, you'll save it for my sake. It's been interesting in terms of responses to the book. I was asked to give a lecture up at Winnebago Lutheran Academy by students who had been assigned some pages from the book, and I was surprised. They were young. It really wasn't written for high school students. They got it. Whereas I've discovered that adults, especially in about the first 40 pages, really have to wrestle with it. Now, why is that? Is it because the young see more clearly the distinction between the Christian in them and the heathen in them? And as we get older, the attacks of the devil are a little more tricky and a little bit more subtle, and my sinful self finds a way to mesh itself more with the Christian in me so that it's harder to recognize. So if I get, as we say, carnally secure, if I get real comfortable that God is really lucky to have me on his side, well, I need to go back and see what it is that God really requires in the first commandment.
Let's take a break right there, and when we come back, we'll pick up with that thought. Our guest, Pastor Daniel Deutschlander, formerly served as a professor at Northwestern College and Martin Luther College. He's authored the new book, The Theology of the Cross. That's our subject for this first half hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 23rd. Stay tuned.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, Etc. back. Gary Statman, Laura Watson, Daniel Grimmer, Paul Orrick, Michael Parno, Linda Just, Ross Dozier, Patricia Harmon, Joe Jean York, and Michael Musegedis. Thanks for your support.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement. In the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theology of the cross. Pastor Daniel Deutschlander is our guest. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Before the break, you were talking about that struggle back and forth with the Word of God, that the Word of God In our moments of pride, will show us our sin. In our moments of despair, will show us our Savior. It sounds like the theology of the cross in the everyday Christian life is a lot about the distinction between law and gospel.
Certainly, and it's it's also just in that there's so many different ways of expressing that. They all come out to that fundamental distinction between law and the gospel. If you back up one step from that, you could say that the theology of the cross is designed to get the Christian to take God seriously in everything that he says. And that's one of the linchpins of the Lutheran Reformation, is that Luther took God seriously in all that he said, in both the law and the gospel, and that if you don't take him seriously in the law, you'll dismiss him in the gospel. That's what's so much that's so much in evidence and so much of what passes for the church growth movement is you want to make Christianity easy and popular. And so you leave out confession. You leave out original sin. You leave out man's always and desperate need for the gospel. Once you leave that out, people lose their taste for the gospel. Oh, how am I know all that already? Who cares? And they become relativists. They can do whatever they want, because Jesus died not to save me from my sins, but to save me for them. Well, that's a highway to hell if ever there was one, to put it one way.
This theology of glory that you're now describing, where does it, I mean, you said highway to hell, but where does it ultimately lead if someone says, look, I'm standing here before God, I measure how God is disposed toward me primarily upon how I feel about him. If I feel good about him, he must feel good about me. Where does that lead?
Phariseeism. That's what the Pharisee did, who stood in the temple and prayed thus with himself: I thank thee, O Lord, that I am not like other men. As Luther says so often, and as the confessions repeat constantly, man's need for grace is always desperate and absolute. It's never trivial. So again, what my feelings and what my reason say, those have to be brought, as Paul says, in subjection to Christ and to what he says. Yeah. Otherwise, as I say, it's Phariseeism, and either this security that says I'm okay and so God should be satisfied with that, or the despair that says my sin is too great, they're two sides of the same coin, and they're both unbelief.
What is this notion of the hidden God?
Yeah, God hides himself in the cross, and this is Luther, of course, in the Heidelberg Disputations. God hides himself in lowliness. He hides himself in weakness. People want to see God in glory. Well, go back and see the appearances of God in glory. See him at Mount Sinai. Terror, dread, death. But he wraps himself in holiness in the whisper to Elijah on the mountain. In the manger, there's the Almighty God. Suffering and dying on the cross, there's the Almighty God. And that's replicated in the Christian. What is the Christian by virtue of the fact that he's forgiven? He's a saint. He's a child of God. He's a part of the bride of Christ. Christ rules all of history for him and for his benefit. But he doesn't see that now. It's an article of faith. What he sees now is weakness and lowliness. And so God keeps coming to him in meekness and weakness and lowliness. In what? In the Word. In the simple sacraments. That's where God is to be found. We don't want to see God this side of the grave in his glory. We want to embrace him and love him in his lowliness, in the manger, on the cross, at the empty tomb, in the Word, in the water of baptism, in the bread and the wine of the sacred supper. That's where he encounters us, and that's what we love.
So talk a little bit more about those sacraments, because you say that just as a theology of the cross cannot be rightly understood apart from this notion of the Word alone, or of justification by grace alone, it also cannot be rightly understood without a thoroughgoing scriptural understanding of the gifts of the sacraments.
Right. The sacraments are the visible gospel. They're ways in which God comes. In the Bible, God so loved the world. Well, maybe in my, and I hear the pastor say that he's forgiven all my sins in the liturgy. Well, maybe in my desperation, maybe in my despair, I say, but if he only knew what I did. He wouldn't say that. And so I hide behind the pillar in the temple. Ah, but then he comes to me in the sacraments, one at a time. He comes one at a time. He doesn't baptize the world. He says to this child, you are mine. In the sacrament of baptism, that little child, by the promises of God, that baptism washes away our sin. Baptism saves us. Jesus is the primary actor in baptism. He picks us up in his arms and puts us, as it were, in the lap of his Father and says, see, this is one for whom I died. Or in the sacrament, and he did that. He made that promise, and God doesn't lie. You know, one of Luther's favorite expressions, God doesn't lie. He made that promise to me. He adopted me as his own. The sacrament of the altar. So what do you get in the sacrament of the altar? Well, the price of your salvation. That's what you get. Here's the body and the blood of Christ. When God looks at you, who does he see? His only begotten Son, who was given into death for us and for our salvation, given into death for me and for my salvation, so that the despairing heart sighs a sigh of relief at the promise of the gospel. Yeah, my flesh says no. My conscience says no. But God in the sacraments says what he says in all of the gospel. He says yes. And he says yes to me personally.
How much of this is encompassed in the simple phrase that Paul writes at one point, we walk as yet by faith and not by sight?
Yeah, sure. All of it. We don't see the glory. You know, I've often thought of at a baptism, it's so simple, it's so lowly, it's so common. But in heaven, a bell is ringing and an angel is yelling, stop the presses. This is what happened today at this baptism. We don't see that, but that's what God's promise is when he makes us his own dear child. And the same thing at the sacrament of the altar, so simple, so lowly, so humble. It's all ours by faith, not by sight. And that's, again, the difference between the theology of the cross, theology of glory. Theology of glory wants to see everything now. And so I think it drives some people to despair when they go to a church that peddles the theology of glory, and they think that just because they're Christians, all their problems are gone, and so are all their temptations gone. And then when they find that isn't so, they despair. Well, what Christ promised us is that, you know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. Luther makes such a point of that in the Large Catechism, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, presupposes that we will always have temptation. Changes, but it'll always be there. So I feel sorry for some people who must despair when they hear the theology of glory and think that, well, now I'm a Christian, so everything is supposed to be hunky-dory, peachy-keen, and all my problems are solved. No, not at all. They've just begun. Because it's by these temptations and by struggle that Jesus draws us closer to himself, draws us to see our constant need of him. As soon as everything goes well, it's just our nature as human beings, our fallen nature as human beings. As soon as everything goes well, what do? Pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves for how wonderful we are and how much we deserve it. And we're like little children at Christmas time. We love the gift and forget the giver.
With only about a minute here, what is the comfort of the theology of the cross that Scripture so clearly presents to us versus the theology of glory? With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Deutschlander.
Theology of the cross, the certainty that Christ won everything for me. Theology of glory, all depends on what I do and how I feel, all of which are fickle, imperfect, uncertain. Christ said it is finished.
Pastor Daniel Deutschlander served formerly as a professor at Northwestern College and Martin Luther College. He is author of the new book titled The Theology of the Cross. You'll find information on the book, The Theology of the Cross, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Deutschlander, thank you very much for being our guest.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
It's the difference between certainty and doubt. Believe it or not, Holy Scripture would deliver to us certainty. That's not a popular idea in a postmodern age where certainty is considered to be arrogance, but Scripture wants us certain.
certain of what Christ has done for us. In order to make us certain of what Christ has done for us, Scripture leaves us no other place to stand than upon what Christ has done for us. You hear a preacher get into the pulpit, and he wants to offer you certainty in how you feel right then, or how you'll feel once he's done with you, or how much improved your life will be once you followed his simple steps, or how much better you think you will be morally if you simply follow the example that he lays out. He is leading you to hell. He may even use Jesus as a great example to follow. That Jesus will lead you to hell. In order that we might be certain of everything Christ has done for us, and Christ alone, Scripture leaves us no other place to stand than upon what Christ has done for us, not upon our feelings, not upon our moral improvement, not upon any progress we think we make. Our certainty must rest on Christ and what he has done for us, his perfect obedience, his suffering, his cross, his resurrection. And when we stand upon him alone, we have everything, and it is certain. When we come back, we'll talk about evangelism with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Justin Cook, Irma Mazik, Sarah Brettrager, Nyla Thatcher, Carol Wagner, Raymond Wagner, Stan Palmer, and Dana Palmer. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
July 4th will have extra meaning for my wife and me. Our son Nick is a soldier in Iraq fighting for our nation's freedom. In honor of our troops everywhere, I'm hosting a half-hour radio special called Life and Liberty, calling a nation to prayer for our children. This includes unborn children. I pray the sacrifice these soldiers and their families are making will motivate every American to stand strong, stand firm for our most cherished freedom, life. Without the right to life, all other freedoms are lost and meaningless. Life and liberty is tremendously moving. Be prepared to be touched. Be prepared to love your country even more. Check with this radio station to find out when it'll be airing in your area. Then, take time to thank a soldier for your freedom.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
You'll find a clearinghouse of Reformation resources at newreformationpress.com. T-shirts, music, outlines of important theological books, plus lectures by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Check it out. NewReformationPress.com. If you like Reformation theology, you'll love New Reformation Press. www.newreformationpress.com.